This is the world-famous Bill Hendry Show.
I feel terrible for Nikki. Nikki is a wonderful individual.
We have a message that says one.
This is exciting, I gotta tell you. I've never roasted a fake character before.
He joined the cheerleading squad, and he wants to be a cheerleader.
Stupid.
That big fake.
World famous Phil Hendry Show here every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast. A news talk and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about, where truth is our bitch, and we're through the looking glass. We take you going places where other talk shows cannot go. 877-876-PHIL. Later on tonight, our news hour with Robert Leonard and Bud Dickman. Our website, philhendryshow.com, where our merchandise store will be up and running soon. Where tomorrow we will have four new podcasts for you. In addition to our daily podcast, we're going to have three of our Classic Phil podcasts, as well as a pre-show rant. Our show's 4 hours long, not three, 4 hours. So if you are missing our first hour, which is on the live streaming video on our website, philhendryshow.com, you're missing, one quarter of the show. And if you're listening to our show on a station that only carries 2 hours of the three or the four, you're missing even more of the show. 877-876-PHIL is our number, and we've got a affiliate spotlight for you tonight featuring Denver, KRCN 1060 AM, Denver, Colorado, and Joplin, Missouri, KZYM 1230 AM on the dial. Two great stations on the Phil Hendry Show radio network. Now, we've got a couple of stories tonight. Later on, we're going to have Margaret Gray is going to be discussing with us a story out of New York, a teacher who apparently admitted to having been a prostitute. And she did so. Oh, by the way, speaking of prostitutes, Harry Shearer, I'm kidding around, Harry, I'm just joking. I was going to say, speaking of prostitutes, the Huffington Post. I don't know why I thought of the Huffington Post, but Harry Shearer gave us some love in the Huffington Post. We appreciate it. All right. This story is about a boy cheerleader here, and, you know, we'll clarify what I just said in the news hour. In Findlay, Ohio, bullies who apparently tried to beat up an 11-year-old boy because he wanted to be a cheerleader. This kid says, I'm going back out there. I'm going to be a cheerleader. He is basically saying, despite this fight that left his arm broken and lots of bullying, Tyler Wilson is saying no bully's going to stop him from being a cheerleader. I'm going to keep going, he said. Meanwhile, Christy Wilson, the sixth grader's mom, says she's furious with educators at Glenwood Middle School and its independent cheerleading squad for not stepping in to prevent the bullying. Christy Wilson, the boy's mom, is asked by ABC News why her son was bullied there at the school.
Because he joined the cheerleading squad and he wants to be a cheerleader. I kind of expected the normal teasing, and I kind of figured, you know, there might be a fight. I figured black eye, bloody lip, boys will be boys, they fight, but my child is broken, and that's the part that hurts. I want the criminal charges because I want this kid to know that it's not okay.
11-year-old Tyler Wilson says he'll continue cheerleading.
It feels horrible that they can't accept me for who I am. It's my choice. If I want to be a cheerleader, I'm a cheerleader. I'm going to keep going. I'm going to make a lifestyle out of it.
Well, there it is. Don Mixa is a professor of engineering at the University of Washington, and he's joining us tonight here on the Phil Hendry Show to talk about this story as an educator. It's pretty tough to hear about a kid getting bullied, isn't it, Don?
No question, and I'm a father of boys a little bit older than this child. My son is 13. The same kind of feelings, you know, that you have for a very young boy who is coming into his adolescence, who's standing up for himself. It's a, I think it's something that every father feels, every mother feels.
There is a little bit of pride, though, in a boy who is standing up for himself. And yet there's got to be something as parents that we can do for these kids who are getting pushed around out there.
There's no question, Phil, that we have to do something for these young people. I think that when a young person stands up for something that they believe in, and they are being pushed around or bullied on a playground or wherever in life, and the school's not doing anything about it, we've got a very, very serious situation. And we want our kids to stand up for what they believe in. We want our kids to be to be proud of their feelings and their beliefs. We don't want them to be pushing other people around, but we want people to respect them.
What are you, as an educator, and I know that you started out not just, you didn't just start out at a university level, where you were teaching and at the elementary level, weren't you?
Actually, I started at the junior college level. I had never done any.
Oh, I thought you were, you had taught at elementary school?
No, I had never really done any. I was working on a thesis and writing a couple of books, and I got involved in teaching at the junior college level. But I will tell you this, I don't know much about the elementary school level in terms of the requirement in teaching kids at that level. It's not anything that that I would do, because there is a certain, a certain presentation you want to have as an educator and as a writer and as a professor. You're not going to sell a lot of books. You're not going to impress a lot of publishers by saying I teach sixth grade or fifth grade. So I've tried to stay as far away as I can from that environment because you don't want it polluting what you're ultimately doing. But let me say this, Phil. I think that I think we've got young people out there that are fighting for the right things. I think that we should back them up. I think we should make sure that they don't get pushed around. I think we should make sure that these young people have all the support they need from parents and all the support they need from their schools. I think that we also need to tell these kids that when you are standing up for something, understand, there's an old saying, pick your battles. If you want to stand up for something that is an ideal, if you want to stand up for something that is a principle or a belief system, these are things that are worthy of our admiration, and they're certainly worthy of our our respect and our efforts at defending that. But if you're standing up for being a cheerleader, you're going to have to take a certain amount of ridicule.
But also, I mean, if he's standing up for a cheerleader, that's not a principle, right?
No, it's not. It's not a principle like a Thomas Jefferson principle or. America, we've got a problem in America. One of the problems we have in our country is that we don't really have much to stand up for in this country that other countries have stood up for. You take a look at Nelson Mandela, I was going to say, comes from the prison experience. Nelson Mandela was in prison. There are revolutionaries and thinkers and politicians and philosophers and artists all over the world that have had to deal with the system in the most extreme ways. But in our country, we don't have to. So what you have is a kid wanting to be a cheerleader.
Are you criticizing the boy for standing up for himself?
No, I'm not, Phil. What I'm saying is, I just wish. I suppose in my there are moments when I wish we had examples of people standing up for something that is a little bit worthier, I guess, of our time. To listen to a boy who, you could solve this problem very easily by saying to the boy, there's probably some better things you can do with your time than being a cheerleader.
But that's what he wants to do, you know.
Yeah, well, it may be what he wants to do, but he's an 11-year-old boy.
So what I hear you saying, though, Don, and we're talking to Don Mixa from University of Washington, a professor, about this boy who wants to be a cheerleader and was bullied and had his arm broken, but he's still going to be a cheerleader. Our number, 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-PHIL. You're saying that this problem could be averted were this boy not trying to be a cheerleader, you know?
Well, not exactly, Phil.
You're saying that being a cheerleader is not as worthy or as admirable an ideal to attain as some of the things that other people do in this world. Now, you mentioned Nelson Mandela coming from the prison experience. I mean, there's no question that that's paying your dues.
Absolutely.
And there's no question that we've had people who've been through the fire. But this is an 11-year-old boy, you know.
Well, I certainly take that into consideration. But what we want to do is harden and toughen our kids, don't we? Don't we want our kids to be? This is going to be a very tough world the next 100 years. Next century is going to be, and this is the first generation that's going to be attacking this century as Americans. And we've got a boy who is standing up for himself, and that's good. But what's he standing up for? He's standing up for being a cheerleader. And.
Well, you're a father, so you're telling me if your son had come to you and said, "Dad, I want to be a cheerleader and bullies are pushing me around," what would you have said?
10. Sean is 13.
Well, let's say back when he was 10 or 11.
When he was 10 or 11, if Sean had come to me and said, Dad, I want to be a cheerleader, I've been pushed around, I would have said to him, don't you think that there's... I would have said to him, first of all, I'm going to call the school, I'm going to make sure that you are protected, son. And then I would take him aside and I'd say, is there not something that you can do at this particular point in your life that is not going to be, you know, hanging a neon sign out saying, please, you know, please put me in a shopping cart and push me down a hill. Please kick my you-know-what. Isn't there something you could do?
Would you talk him out of being a cheerleader?
I would simply say to him, why do you want to be something that is going to embarrass your mother, me, your grandmother and your grandfather, you know, a lot of our neighbors and friends? I got to go to school and stick up for you, and the teacher's going to say your son got beat up because he wants to be a cheerleader, and I have to say, yeah, isn't that great? And it's asking a lot of me as a father, and being a male cheerleader, it certainly we have male cheerleaders, but I have to tell you it reflects badly on the parents. If he wanted to join a anyway.
I sort of understand what you're saying. 877-876-PHIL. 877-876-PHIL. We're talking with Don Mixa here about a boy, a little 11-year-old boy, who wanted to be a cheerleader. He got bullied, had got his arm broken, and got pushed around a little bit. But he's going right back out there to be a cheerleader. Don Mixa is with us saying there are things that 11-year-old boys could choose to be or do that might not invite a beating, and maybe that's a better thing. Do we advise our sons not to be cheerleaders? 877-876-PHIL, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
You're listening to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. You're listening to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
877-876-PHIL. Don Mixa with us, a professor of engineering at the University of Washington. But we are talking about something a little bit far afield of university life. We're talking about middle school life and a little boy who wants to be a cheerleader at his school in Findlay, Ohio. The boy was bullied by some kids. They broke his arm. Before we get to some phone calls here, Don, you're saying that you back up our kids, but they're choices we have to live with as parents, and you seem to be saying that being a cheerleader for a boy is not...
It's not something as a parent I'm going to be proud of.
Yeah, I mean, that's what you're making it sound like.
No, I don't want to say that. I would say this. My son, if my son said to me, I'll give an example. I'll tell you one thing my son did. I want to be on the wrestling team. My son wanted to be on the wrestling team, and I immediately asked him why. And he said, because it was interesting and what have you. And I said, you understand that being on a wrestling team is going to open your mother and I up to a certain level of ridicule.
And in what way?
I think you can understand.
We're talking about it's a suspect sport or something?
I think you can understand, Phil. If you just allow me, I said it's going to open us up. And I said, you could get bullied. And I said, and the first bully might be me. And I wasn't going to hurt my son, but I told him, I said, imagine if you joined a wrestling team and someone beat you up and left you at a, you know, behind a car in a parking lot. I said, what if that was your father? What if I did that?
So your son joining the wrestling team you didn't like?
No, I did not like it because it opened his mother and I up to a certain level of ridicule that somebody left. In fact, someone left a bottle of baby lotion on my wife's desk at work when they found out that Sean was going out for the wrestling team like he wanted to oil up, you know. And so, again, you have to think about the parents. And, hey, Dad, I want to be a cheerleader. All right, great. So that's going to open me up to a certain level of ridicule. And I've got to live with that. I've got to live with the decisions and that my son makes. And this boy, he got beat up. I'm not saying that I would have beat him up, but and he's got a mother that apparently thinks this is a good thing. What if that child came home and his mother beat him up?
If his mother beat him up, she'd go to jail.
Well, no, I understand. understand that, but I'm saying if he came home and said, I want to be a cheerleader, and his mother beat him up.
Well, if that happened, she'd go to jail. I can't imagine any parent, even if they don't like the choice that a child makes, physically assaulting their child. Here is Brenda in Jackson, Mississippi. Go ahead, Brenda. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Hello. Hi.
Literally, Phil. I'm talking about just, you know, slapping a kid because they want to be a wrestler.
Yeah, go ahead, Brenda.
Okay, hi.
Hi, how you doing?
I'm a teacher on the college level. And on the college level, you do have male cheerleaders. I do applaud that little boy for wanting to be a cheerleader. The parents cannot live their lives through their child, okay? If the child wants to be a cheerleader, that's fine with me. Because every Sunday when I watch the football games on TV, I see grown men dressed
yep.
with their face painted with crazy things on their head. And they're cheering for their teams. So he's just support. He's just trying to give support for his team. And I don't see that as an embarrassment. Let the child express himself.
Well, if I could, Phil.
Go ahead.
Brenda, I'm also an educator at the college level at the University of Washington, and I know what you mean. Those guys that are out there on a Sunday afternoon, they are looked upon as sort of the freaks of the school. They couldn't make the football team, and they look a little ridiculous. However, you're right, they are men. Now, let's talk about an 11-year-old boy. An 11-year-old boy painting his face, and, you know, we do have cases of psychosis among our pre-adolescents.
Again.
And I'm frightened that these children with painted faces and the wild child syndrome, you see.
Well, what makes it different? What makes it so different when you see collegiate cheerleaders out there and males are cheering? What is the difference?
Well, I think you hit the nail on the head when you said they're adult men. You know, they're of age, they're of a majority age. They can make fools of themselves if they want to. There's nothing a parent can do at that point. You have to sit and you have to take it. You have to let the wave of embarrassment wash over you. But now I can say to an 11-year-old boy, you go out there and paint your face and put on bikini bottoms or whatever you do. I can do something about that. I can.
Well,
I don't want to say, but I can slap you down if.
Slap him down. What's wrong with a kid wanting to be a cheer on the high school level? I mean, on the high school level, they have male cheerleaders.
I'm not understanding. But the only thing I want to say is this.
Yes, ma'am.
Is that the kid is simply showing support for his school. It is sad, it is tragic that we are so closed-minded that we would hurt the boy because he wanted to show support for his team. Everybody
you don't
play sports. I couldn't play sports. I was a cheerleader, okay?
Well, girls being cheerleaders, and I got, Brenda, you'll agree with me, girls look perfectly acceptable as cheerleaders, but when your only son, your blood, the heir to your family name, has put on a wig and has painted his face rainbow colors, you begin to feel there's a sadness.
Well, wait a minute. I want to say something. Don, come on. The kids in college, that's when you have fun. That is the time in life when you are enjoying everything around you. You're going to ball games. You're going to class. You're meeting girls. You know, it's a great time. You're young. If ever there's a time to paint your face rainbow colors, that's the time.
The lady said adult men, and I underlined that, adult men. Once you turn 18, off.
The only thing I want to say, sir, is this. I was a cheerleader. I also supported the cheerleading team, and I had males and females. I've been on the college level all my life. But the only thing I can say is, if I can see grown men looking like idiots in the stand, dressed and painted all different colors, I see no reason. It is unfortunate that we live in such a closed-minded society where they would attack this little 11-year-old boy. I say, go on out there, young man, and support your school. And that's all I have to say about that. Thank you for taking my call.
They may find a boy in clown makeup, unconscious.
I don't think so. Thank you very much for your call, Brenda. I don't think so. I don't think so, Don. I think that's a terrible thing to say.
I've been in college, just as the lady said. I've been in college my whole life, too. And let me say this. I get into the stands on a Saturday afternoon. I pull for the Huskies. I've got a fake I have a fake coyote head that I wear to the Husky games, and I look like a complete imbecile. And I have a ball. That's me. But if my son tried to pull something like that, he and I'd have a very, very serious problem.
And so you can dress like a fool, but not your son.
I didn't say a fool. I said I wear a coyote head.
But you said that you look ridiculous. All right, we'll be back with Don Mixa on the little 11-year-old boy who wants to be a cheerleader. Is he embarrassing his family? The world-famous Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-PHIL.
Phil Hendry.
877-876-PHIL.
Yeah.
Welcome back here and online at philhendryshow.com, the strong right arm of the Phil Hendry Show. philhendryshow.com. Go over, watch live streaming video of our show, and take us on the road with you. You can watch live streaming video of our show on your Android phone, on your Evo phone, and soon on your iPhone. So we're mobile, man. We're on the desktop, on the laptop, on the iPad. We're on the mobile. 877-876-PHIL. Boy cheerleader Tyler Wilson won't quit despite his arm being broken by bullies. And when we started talking about this, Donna, we're going to get some more phone calls. You were saying you love your son and you would love this boy and you back up your kids, but this is an embarrassing choice for a young man to make, and maybe they should think about this before they go into these things. But really, the point of the story is about him standing up for himself, isn't it?
Well, the point of the story is him standing up for himself is exactly correct, Phil. But let's talk about, as you mentioned, Nelson Mandela. Nelson Mandela stood up for himself. And what was he standing up for? He was standing up for the right to walk down a street as a man and to change society as we know it. If my son or if this boy, if they were standing up for something like that, I would certainly be very, very proud to go to bat for them here, there, anywhere. I'd walk into the fires of hell for a person like that. But what do we have in America? What we have in America instead is not someone saying, let's go to the mat for the rights of man. No, we've got a boy who wants to be a cheerleader. Now, there's nothing wrong with that, Phil. He's an 11-year-old boy. But his parents have to live with that for the rest of their lives. And what I mean, let me tell you what I mean by that. If I walk in, I don't know, to a restaurant, a coffee shop, and say, you know, you're Don Mixa. I saw your son. The last time I saw your son, he had a big lion head or something. You know, he was wearing a costume, and he was wearing a lion's costume. And I've got to live with that. And you pray. You pray that he didn't have, no, that's not my son. If he didn't take the head off and you don't see, well, yes, it was because he took the head off to smoke a cigarette or eat a sandwich or something. So that's what I'm talking about. You know, I've got to lie to a man and say, no, that isn't my son. He wasn't in a costume.
And well, I don't know. I mean, if he was in high school or he was in college.
Or he was in grade school. You see what I'm saying? He's in grade. That's what we're talking about, grade school. Isn't that like college? He was in grade school. Yeah, that was my son who's the guy, the Little Abner, Daisy May outfit, you know, Little Abner outfit.
All right, 877-876, Phil. Don Mixa with us here talking about the little boy in Findlay, Ohio, who wanted to become a cheerleader, and that's exactly what he's going to do. Here is Diane in Fort Worth, Texas, listening to us on KFXR. Go ahead, Diane, you're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Hi, Phil. Thank you
yes,
for
ma'am.
Having me on.
Yes, ma'am.
I just had a comment. It's very interesting that you say that you really, really want to support your son and everything that he wants to do. But it's very interesting to me that what you keep mentioning over and over is that you and your wife are going to have to deal with the embarrassment. And to me, that seems to be the point and the issue that is most important to you. And when raising children, the most important point is that we support our children no matter what they do, unless it's illegal. And last time I checked, cheerleading does not fall within that realm.
But you have to live with what your children
do. My daughter is a cheerleader.
Don't you agree with that, Dan? Well, don't you have to live with that, though? You have to live with the decisions that your daughter makes.
Oh, right. Yeah.
So let's say she did something. Right. Let's say she did something that wasn't illegal. Let's say she married a man And you didn't particularly like him, and they had five kids before she was 19.
Is your son
I'm asking you. I'm asking you. If your daughter, let's say your daughter married a, all right, I'm gonna say it, and if I'm out of line, please tell me. But let's say your daughter married a black man and had three or four kids before she turned 20.
What has that got to do with it? What is that about?
Unconditionally, because that is the type of love that a parent has for a child. No, I don't personally approve of that, but I love her unconditionally, and that changes nothing.
But you do say nothing. But you would be disappointed were she to marry a African American.
Why are we bringing that up? Why are we bringing that up?
I'm just saying, Phil, to you and your audience and this lady, we do live with the decisions of our kids. This lady's daughter marries a black man. My boy becomes a cheerleader. These are things we live with for the rest of our lives.
Sir,
for the rest of our lives.
You are scarring your son more than you have ever even imagined by simply not supporting him and not allowing him to do this. This probably, more than likely, will go out of his system. Do you realize the strength and agility that is required to be a cheerleader?
There's strength and agility.
Don't even laugh. I was a cheerleader myself.
To do ballet.
My daughter has been. And unless you've been a cheerleader, you can't comment on that. And especially for a male to be a cheerleader, he's doing the throws. He's a base. He has to be stronger than the majority of the squad.
But I can assure you, it doesn't take a lot of skill to be a cheerleader to run around with the pom poms.
She's talking about
These cheerleaders, Phil, they run around with their pom poms and they go yay or some nonsense.
They do.
I don't know why, but
they do.
I would hope that my son would pick something a little more worthy. That's all.
Diane, I got to take a break. Thank you very much. Not take a break. Move on to another call. I appreciate your call very much, though. Thank you so much. 877-876-PHIL. There's a lot more to cheerleading, Don, you know.
Well, what do they do? They do the triangle, or how do you call that thing?
The pyramid.
Yeah, the pyramid, and some guy. And the thing that I think is the most disappointing thing that I've ever seen, and I think there's a lot of these people who are going to talk tonight that will agree with this, that a young man who is looking forward to his entire life would spend any amount of time learning how to utilize this thing, this baton. Do you understand what I'm saying? Now, as you see these young men, and they twirl, they throw this thing in the air, how could a young man in the prime of his life put on one of those hats that go up for a big, tall hat and throw it in the air? And I said to my son, I said, don't you ever. And he's not a cheerleader. And
you just don't like guys being cheerleaders.
I didn't say that.
Well, that's what it sounds like to me. 877-876-PHIL. Christine is in Anchorage, Alaska. Christine, you're on the Phil Hendry Show. Go ahead, please.
Hi. We're talking about an 11-year-old who has made a decision to try something, to involve himself, to socialize, acceptance, experience, and throwing a baton, for an example. We're talking about exercising muscles and agility, and he's being proud. And he can go to such extremes that he gets his arm broke because he's wanting to do something.
Right.
And
that's
this
right.
is not anything about him. I'm hearing an awful lot about you. Your embarrassment, you're uncomfortable, you would be ashamed. I'm supporting the previous caller in an awful lot. And unconditional love is what, hopefully, in the 21st century, parents can exemplify.
Don?
Well, I heard you commenting, Mr. Hendry, agreeing with the lady.
I do agree with the lady. I agree with her, and I agree with the previous caller. Here's a little boy. He doesn't want to go out and sell drugs. He doesn't want to go out and knock over a liquor store. He doesn't want to go out and do anything weird or creepy or play with dead animals or start fires. The kid wants to be a cheerleader. He wants to jump around. You know, when I was a kid, I used to jump off the roofs of houses because I thought that was fun. People probably thought I was crazy, but when you're a kid, you know.
Look, Phil, please don't bore me and the caller with the way it was when you were a kid, because when you and I were kids, they didn't have this kind of, we were not allowed to do the things that girls do. But I will say this.
Well, no, hold on for a minute, man. They had boy cheerleaders.
Excuse me, with all due respect, Don, you just spoke for me, and I would like to let you know that I didn't give you permission. You just let the announcer know to say, well, don't speak for us. Don't bore us with what you got to say, you being a listener. You're speaking for me.
Yeah.
He's not boring
for
me.
I
didn't
for
ask you to. Please do not speak for
Mr.
me.
Henry,
I'm communicating to you about your issues. These are all about
But Mr. Henry was... Mr. Henry was talking about when he was a kid jumping off of the roofs of houses. I mean, who cares?
I was simply trying I was a little boy once, just as you were. I was 11 years old, and one of the things you want to do is run around outside.
I wanted to run around outside, Mr. Henry, as a baseball player, as a hockey player, as a football player. I didn't want to run around outside wearing my sister's underwear. And I think this is the difference between myself as a parent, perhaps you as a parent, perhaps Christine is a parent. Now, if Christine wants her son wearing her undergarments, that's her business. I don't want that for my boy. I don't want my boy going in. I don't want my son rummaging. I don't want my son rummaging around in his mother's underwear drawer.
We're talking about the cheerleading. What has this got to do with underwear? What do you want for your son?
The first thing I don't want is him rummaging around in his mother's panties.
But that's not the question. You're avoiding the question.
No, I'm not. I'm answering your question.
No, you're not.
I want for my... Yes, I am. I don't want him...
No, what do you want is the question.
What I don't want...
No, not what you don't want. What do you want?
I'm going to tell you. I want him to wear a man's underwear. But that doesn't tell the entire story, does it?
You're not answering the question. You continue to avoid, and this is not about you.
What I want to—it's entire. It's not about me. You're right. It's not about me. It is about his mother and I being able to walk down a street without having someone throw something at us from a car.
But there again, you're talking about you, you and your wife. It's still going back to you and about your self-image and your terminal uniqueness and your issues and your self-esteem. It has nothing to do with your son now. It keeps going right back to you.
I want my son to go into the world and profoundly change it the way a Nelson Mandela has, the way a Carl Sagan has, the way a Stephen O. You know what I'm saying? I'm saying... Yeah, I want my son to really make a difference. You're not going to make a difference at the age of 11.
You have no idea.
With your face painted like a Ubangi warrior and wearing your mother's stockings.
You don't know what kind of an impact he's going to have if he's given a choice.
These are all the things in life. Yeah, these are the things in life that young men choose, young women choose, that begin the building blocks of who they become as adults.
Well, I'm the teacher, Phil, not you and not this lady, so let's leave the analysis of what kids become to me, all right, and solely to me.
No, I don't think so. 877, thank you very much, Christine. 877-876-PHIL. We're going to be back here with Don Mixa. We're talking about kids. Everybody has a different opinion, but let's hope that we all agree on one thing, that when we raise a kid, we want that child to be a constructive human being. Not a destructive human being. A human being that creates, that invents, that does. 877-876-PHIL. We'll be back with Don Mix in a moment here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, talking about this little boy that wants to be a cheerleader.
Phil Hendry.
Yeah, that's great. That's just great.
Phil Hendry.
Here in the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast, boy cheerleader Tyler Wilson won't quit despite arm being broken by bullies. And here we are in late September, and we are now into the full bloom of the football season. And this boy, an 11-year-old at a middle school, wants to be a cheerleader. The bullies pushed him around and said, no, you can't be a cheerleader. And Don Mixa joins us. He's a professor at the University of Washington. We're talking about kids doing what they want to do, Don, but it almost sounds as if the point of view that you have taken with me tonight and with my callers is you don't support bullies, but you are against this boy being a cheerleader.
No, I am not, Phil. No, I am not, Phil.
Well, you've said, you know, this is something you have to live with. A mother and father has to live with it.
I think I've done a very good job of showing you a boy can be anything he wants to be. A girl can be anything she wants to be. But when they decide to become what they become, the parents are the ones that are walking down the street and a window gets rolled down and something that has been rotting in a fruit bowl in a garage somewhere gets thrown. And it may hit you. It may hit your wife. And the two of you may smell of it all day. And why?
Are you being quite literal here? You know,
am I, in what way?
Were you talking about walking down the street and getting hit with rotten fruit?
In a small town. Absolutely, in a small town. Yep.
Well, let's talk about in a regular size American city.
Well, you're going to have to walk into a supermarket, and there is Daisy May or whoever it is. You know, I hear your son's a cheerleader. You know, ha ha. It can really put a crimp in your day. It can really, you go to light your pipe in the evening after you've gotten home and you're trying to relax. And, you've got the match almost over the tobacco and you're just staring into space thinking about your son wearing a clown costume and suddenly there's no more relaxation.
Yeah. All right, 877-876-PHIL. Let's go over to Bill, listening to us on WTKK in Boston tonight. Go ahead, Bill, you're on the Phil Henry Show.
Hey, what's going on, guys? Thanks for having me.
Yes, sir.
I just wanted to share a little insight on what it actually takes to be a male cheerleader nowadays, because I was one a few years ago at a high school. And let me tell you, it's really not all fun and games. I mean, it's pretty rigorous. I mean, there's been times where you throw girls up in the air and they come down and elbows hit you in the face. You know, you get kneed in the face. I mean, there's been times where just me myself, I'd have to lift up a girl, hold her above my head on one hand for a good 15, 25 seconds. Now, that's a full size. What's that?
I was going to say, what's the point of that? You know, other than the fact that you're, and I don't know how to say this, but, you know, I guess you're getting a pretty good view down there.
That,
you know what I mean?
No, it's not even
you know
it's
something.
Not even about
no,
that.
Don't even, yeah, don't talk like that, okay?
Well, I'm trying to ask the young man, what's the point?
The point is, you're saying that cheerleading for a male is really easy. And really, I mean, it's not the hardest sport, but let me tell you, it's not easy. And the fact of the matter is, if an 11-year-old kid wants to be a cheerleader at his school and support his friends who are playing football or basketball or whatever, I don't really see what the big deal is. And you keep going on, like the other caller said, about how it's embarrassing to you and your wife. Let me tell you, my parents were actually pretty proud. I mean, we were division champions.
I want to ask you something, Bill. Sure, can I ask you something? I mean, I'm a parent. Let's say I'm in the stands and I'm your father, and there you are with your hand up someone's dress. How am I supposed to be proud of that?
What are you talking about?
What? You said you got
your hand up some girl's skirt.
No.
He's holding her.
I'm holding her up by the bottom of her feet, above my head for 30 seconds at a time, while she moves around, flares her arms, does whatever she has to do. Then I have to throw her up in the air. She has to spin, and then I have to catch her, so she has to land safely.
Yeah.
That doesn't sound right to you?
I don't get it. I don't see the skill that you're developing worthwhile in a domestic abuse situation, you know. And
come on. We're talking about a very athletic. It's performance. It's entertaining people in the stand. What Bill was doing is no different from what a person does on stage, a dancer. We're showing people. Have you ever been to Cirque du Soleil, you know?
The thing that most people don't know is
male cheerleaders don't dance. We take.
All right, listen,
thank
you, Bill, for your call. Let's go to Abby in Los Angeles, listening on KTLK. She's in West Hollywood. Go ahead, Abby.
Hi. First of all, thank you for taking the call.
Yes, ma'am.
How did you settle?
I don't understand that last caller, though.
I know. We got another caller on. Go ahead, Abby.
Hi.
Hi.
Professor Mix, are you saying that as a grown man, your criteria for your child's behavior should be governed on the fact that as a grown man, you can't bear to be called names? Isn't that something we're supposed to outgrow?
No, ma'am, I'm not saying that at all. What I am saying is I'm walking down the street with a wife, a woman such as yourself, and because some guy at a hardware store saw my son as a cheerleader, I get hit in the face with a piece of God knows what, you know.
Well, sir,
rotten.
Sir, I'm sorry if you live in a neighborhood where people express their opinions by throwing rotten fruit, but my understanding, I mean, my parents have been very supportive of me my whole life, and I grew up with a lot of their values, not because they threatened to slap me or they said how embarrassed they'd be if I didn't share their values, but because they demonstrated that they were good people and I could see everybody admired them. I'm sorry, sir.
And my son, you made the right choices, my son made. But what do you do if a kid makes the wrong choice and she decides she wants to, in your case, Abby, let's say you decided you wanted to put on a tuxedo and play a piano in a bar that's frequented by nothing but women. And your father he's got a question.
My mother would be supportive of that.
Well, that's fine, but I would have questions as a father. It's okay,
my parents were founders of Parents and Friends of Lesbians and Gays. So
they were front-enders? They were what, the front-enders?
Founders.
They were some of the founders of that organization. Which is,
well, that's pretty strange.
My parents would certainly have been upset if I had been a thief, if I had been a cheat.
Well, what if you cut your hair short and played a piano on a bar?
Phil Henry.
A real short haircut.
You're listening to the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Was Ms. Whitman engaging in her own form of donut?
This is exciting, I gotta tell you. I've never roasted a
fake. Yeah, I hope you cut in my kitchen. I don't
feel horrible that they can't accept me for who I am.
Must drown government like a baby.
Famous Phil Henry Show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast, a news talk and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. This is the only place in the world where you're going to hear this kind of radio show. Truth is our bitch. And we'll take you anywhere and through the looking glass. We go places other talk shows can't go, man. PhilHenryShow.com is the strong right arm of the Phil Henry Show. Go over there right now, watch our live streaming video of the show. We are on video right now, the video cast, as well as live streaming audio of the show. And you can get the downloads tomorrow of this show and all kinds of thing at PhilHenryShow.com. Archives that are being made into downloads every day. And you can take us mobile, too, on your Android, on your Evo. Take a look at us mobile wherever you are. You can watch our video cast, listen to our show on demand anytime, day or night, at philhenryshow.com. 877-876-PHIL. We continue with our discussion. Don Mixa is on the line with us. Don is in Seattle, Washington. He's a professor of engineering at the University of Washington. The story, and it's an interesting story, and it's certainly tapped tapped into a vein of concern among people. Maybe it's football season. It has to do with a little boy, 11-year-old boy, who, even though he wants to be a cheerleader, has been bullied and pushed around at school and had his arm broken by these bullies. Now, this boy, Tyler, his name is Tyler Wilson. He's the only guy on the cheerleading team. He loves gymnastics and tumbling. He wanted to join the squad despite the warnings of his mother that the boys at the school might tease him. The trouble started when some of his middle school classmates spotted him cheering the day before school started, and they began the teasing again. The mother said, "I knew that some of the kids were teasing him, and we talked about ways to deal with that." Things went from bad to worse when Tyler was walking home from school and two of his alleged tormentors approached him and punched him. The incident allegedly included one of the boys picking up Tyler and slamming him on the ground, breaking his arm. Now, that's serious. And I'll tell you, if you've got a kid that engages in that kind of violence, you got a problem, kid. Real serious problem with that kid. Serious problem with that kid. Like, let's start with maybe the kid needs medication. Maybe he's being beaten up at home. See, we're figuring things out now. If you got a kid that's that violent, that picks up another kid, slams him to the ground, and breaks his arm, that kid's got a serious anger management problem. Now, is he being slapped around at the house by some slob of a father? Is he being, has he got a biochemical imbalance? What's going on?
All right, here is some of the audio that we had for you, and this is of, I believe, both Tyler and his mother. Here first is Christy Wilson, the boy's mom, asked by ABC News why her son was bullied.
Because he joined the cheerleading squad, and he wants to be a cheerleader. I kind of expected the normal teasing, and I kind of figured, you know, there might be a fight. I figured black eye, bloody lip, boys will be boys, they fight, but my child is broken, and that's the part that hurts. I want the criminal charges because I want this kid to know that it's not okay.
Here is 11-year-old Tyler Wilson says he'll continue cheerleading.
It feels horrible that they can't accept me for who I am. It's my choice. If I want to be a cheerleader, I'm a cheerleader. I'm going to keep going. I'm going to make a lifestyle out of it.
And here's Don Mixa who joins us. You heard, Don, there's the mother, there's the son. I know that you have said that kids need to be mindful of their choices in life, but you can hear, you know, that this boy has had to kind of run a gauntlet. I mean, isn't that something to be proud of? Isn't that something to be proud of in any kid?
Hey, look, Phil, yeah, without question, it is something to be proud of, and it's something to say, you know, good on you that you're, you know, that you've chosen something that obviously you knew was going to, it was going to throw you into a pressure cooker. We don't want to teach our kids, though, Phil, to be so selfish that they don't care how their decisions react or reflect on others. I would love to be able to have a bumper sticker on my car that says, my son's an honor student. I would love to be able to have a bumper sticker on my car that says, my son is a this or that, you know, an A student, an honor roller, a lot of the things that you see these parents in. But instead, my son chose to join the wrestling team. Here's a boy that wants to be a cheerleader. These are both choices that certainly are going to raise eyebrows. They're going to have people talking, you know, at the supermarket and the hair salon and wherever these people talk. My wife had to hear it when she was at the hair salon. Let me hear your son's on a wrestling team. So on and so forth.
And what, I don't understand the thing with the wrestling team. What is that supposed to mean? Is that so some kind of a gay thing?
I don't know what it is. I really don't, and I don't agree with the parents and a lot of these other kids that make fun of people on the wrestling team. I don't, but I do know there is something about it that leaves me cold. And
well, what is that?
I don't know, and I don't think I want to explore it. I'm not gonna discourage my son from being on a wrestling team, but I don't think that it's gonna do him or anybody else any good by you know, after they have their wrestling matches to go and, you know, to go and socialize with those people. But when it comes to this little boy who's a cheerleader, same bull crap, different day. You know, you've got a kid who's, I think I'll be a cheerleader, and that's going to reflect on the parents, whether it's with a piece of rotten fruit or whether...
Well, I don't know. Then that lady made a very good point. She said, what town do you live in that you get hit with rotten fruit from a moving car?
I'm going to tell you something, Bill. I don't know where you're from. I come from a small town, and I've moved to big cities my whole life, and it doesn't matter whether you're from a small town or a big city, you're going to get, if people know that your kid does this, that, or something else, generally they're going to find themselves a tomato or something that rotted, excuse me, something that's staying in the refrigerator up. They're going to take it, and they're going to try to bury that in the back of your head, so...
I don't know of anything like that. Our number 877-876-PHIL. So this is a question, as far as you know, about selfishness.
I think so, yeah.
That it's all right for a boy to choose being a cheerleader, but you know what? It's pretty selfish because the parents have to pay the price. You mentioned the bumper sticker of my kid's an honor student. We all see those bumper stickers, you know.
Well, I can imagine that this is a boy, if he were my son or any of your son, and you'd love to have a bumper sticker that says, my son is an A student, and instead, you got nothing to put on your car. You're not going to put, my son's a cheerleader. You'd never do that. I mean, I would. Well, okay. I don't know what to say to anybody that says that.
I would put about, my son's a cheerleader? Why wouldn't I put that on there?
I don't know what to say. I mean, anybody that would actually say what you just said.
I don't know what is so unusual about it. 877-876-PHIL. I'm going to go to a phone call here on the Phil Hendry Show. We have Jennifer. Hi, Jennifer. You're on the Phil Hendry Show with Professor Don Mixa.
Good morning, sir. Thank you for taking my call.
Yes, ma'am.
I would like to say as respectfully as I can, considering I am just totally dumbfounded by this man's attitude. If, as a parent, he is embarrassed by anything that his children do, then shame on him for ever deciding to be a parent. That is inherent. It goes with the territory. It's going to happen. Secondly, this 11-year-old boy has done nothing that anybody should be embarrassed about. He is trying to explore different things in life. He's not a criminal. He's not doing anything awful, bad, to hurt anybody. And yet, this man who unfortunately is a teacher and is teaching not just zero tolerance, how about negative 1,000,000% tolerance?
Oh, that's not true.
I can't believe you.
That is not true, ma'am. No, ma'am. What I'm trying to say is this. Look, I remember when our daughter was an infant and she reached into her diaper, as little babies will, and she threw it all around a restaurant. All right, you wouldn't be embarrassed by that? Of course you would.
You're an infant? You had an infant in a restaurant.
Yes, I did.
I want to tell you something.
I had an infant in a restaurant, and she picked the stuff out of her diaper and threw it at the head waiter.
My son was, I'm sorry, it's hard for me to hear you because I'm on the road driving a truck right now, a moving truck, and so what if I had a CDL? I'm a woman, oh, shame on me. Now, my son was a collegiate.
You wind up killing a family of four in that truck if they go underneath the tractor or the trailer because you're talking on a talk show. Yeah. Okay, great. Yeah. Nice one.
Wait a minute. Will you let the lady finish? Go ahead, Jennifer.
Thank you. My son was a high school wrestler, a collegiate wrestler. I went to every match. We cheered. There's nothing
That's rough.
Icky about it. These fellows work out hard for hours every day, all year long. I was a competitive swimmer for 16 years. What, was there something wrong with that? I challenge your mental stability as a parent. Shame on you for being a teacher. Shame on you for teaching intolerance up the wazoo.
That's not what I do. I don't do that, ma'am. You're the one that was the swimmer, and now you're driving a truck. That bespeaks a bit of confusion, I think. Nonetheless, let's get back to your son and his wrestling. You can do what you want. You can say what you want. You can be what you want. But I have a right to be embarrassed if my daughter reaches into her diaper and hits the head waiter flush in the face. You don't think I have the right to do that? I question your judgment if you say that I have problems with something like that.
It's an infant girl. Obviously, that's going to happen. Okay.
But this lady has questioned my sanity while she tools down the road in a tractor trailer, putting at risk God knows how many families.
First of all, you're ignorant. I'm driving a budget rent-a-truck, okay? I'm moving my own things. So, okay? Secondly, what if your child had something like cerebral palsy or something else? Would you walk around being embarrassed by your child?
I think you can create
a child to be exactly what is perfect in your mind?
No, ma'am, but I can tell a friend of mine, Bill Pfefferd, and he and his wife had a daughter. She had muscular dystrophy, and she was a lovely little girl, but they took her to a buffet on a Sunday afternoon at the Hyatt Regency, and she, you know, spilled the food all. You should have seen it. It was a mess. And sure, they're turning red. And they're like, look at this stumble bum.
They didn't call their daughter a stumble bum.
No, they didn't do that. But the kid took the pastries, and it's just everywhere. Why? Well, she had cerebral palsy, or what do you call it, the muscular sclerosis. Am I embarrassed? No. Do I regret the fact that I've got to hang around and watch them clean it up? Yes. Do I punish my daughter? No, I don't. Do I take her to another buffet? No. Do I?
All right, I understand. Jennifer, thank you very much, and appreciate your call.
Well, Jennifer, drive carefully.
877. She wasn't in a tractor trailer. And your story about somebody spilling food at a buffet. 877-876-PHIL. We'll be back with more on the boy cheerleader, Tyler Wilson, who this little boy stood up for himself. I'm going to be a cheerleader. And the bullies broke his arm. We'll be back with Don Mixa from the University of Washington to talk more about this in a moment of the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
It's the Phil Hendry Show. You're listening to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
We got a few more minutes here with Don Mixa as we talk about Tyler Wilson, a boy who wanted to be a cheerleader. He's 11 years old, and his quest to be a cheerleader and join the cheerleading team at his school there in Findlay, Ohio, has led to him being bullied by other kids, having his arm broken, but he still wants to press on. And really, what we were talking about here is supporting our kids and their very healthy instincts, Don. And you've taken the stand that while this child's instincts are to be admired, that his choice of being a cheerleader somehow reflects badly on the parents. And you know, I know.
Look, if I could, Phil, because
No, but your philosophy was basically this: actions have consequences, which I don't disagree with.
Exactly. I want to tell you that I read the comments by Harry Shearer on your show, and I kudos to you and to Harry. I think you had it dead on. You got a great show. And I was reading the Huffington Post. It was in the Huffington Post. Now, I'm a progressive. I am very, very liberal when it comes to my politics. This is one area where I'm not liberal. When it comes to my son and when it comes to kids, if I were to hear that my boy wanted to be a cheerleader, I would react very negatively. Listen, actions have consequences. I'm a big Huffington Post fan. Let me put it to you. Let me give an example. I'm attracted to Arianna Huffington. Would I like to have her? Do I fantasize about having Arianna Huffington? Yes, I do. Do I fantasize about having Arianna Huffington over a pile of U.S. Constitution? Yes, I do. Defiling her? Yes, I do. Would I do it? No, I would not. Why? Actions have consequences. If I were accused of taking Arianna Huffington sexually, I would be in no end of trouble, and it would reflect on my wife and son.
You're not comparing you sexually assaulting Arianna Huffington with your son wanting to be a cheerleader? Or
not? No, my son is not a cheerleader. I'm talking about the other boy.
Or, I mean, I'm sorry, the other kid being a cheerleader.
I'm saying, and again, Phil, don't be dramatic. Try not to be dramatic.
I'm not being dramatic.
But I'm saying actions have consequences. I'm a liberal. I would never want to embarrass Arianna Huffington, and yet I do find her attractive. Would I do things to her that you can't really publish in a family newspaper? Yes. Do I realize that would reflect badly on my family? Yes. Would I do it anyway? No.
All right, 877-876-PHIL. Let me go over to a caller in Los Angeles listening on KTLK. Peter, go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Oh, great. Good evening, everybody.
Yes, you know, good evening, sir.
Good evening.
Back in the mid-70s, I attended high school in the Los Angeles area. And as a prank, we ran this guy whose nickname is Bobo, and we ran him for cheerleader. And the school administration was up in arms in the very same way that the professors were reacting, how they thought it was an awful thing, and they expressed all this thing where they felt that people like me, for running the guy for cheerleader, you know, we were damaging the reputation of the school. And he actually won a placement on the team twice but was denied. The most amazing thing about it is he won as a write-in. The point I'm trying to make is that was back in the 70s. I cannot believe some of the stuff I'm hearing from you, Professor. I find your remarks to be homophobic. I think you have a deep fear that this kid could be gay, and you're hoping to God that your kid never did what this 11-year-old boy did. I think you live in fear of that. Your ignorance about wrestling is unbelievable. Now, wrestling's not my favorite sport. I come from the days where I like pro wrestling, Hulk Hogan, Ric Flair. I really don't like the collegiate stuff. But believe me, those men are not gay at all. There's no reason to feel grossed out by what they do. And I'll tell you, if a collegiate wrestler ever heard your comments, your nose might be broken a bit, too. I'm not advocating violence, but I'm saying those are very, listen, sir,
it's
very offensive. It's very, very offensive what you say. And number two, your remark regarding a guy that would actually look up a girl's skirt by in cheerleading thing. First of all, if any guy was ever caught doing that on a cheerleading squad, they would not only be suspended from the team, they would probably be expelled from school.
And so you know as well as if you know anything about cheerleading, the guy's got his hand right up there. Now, where do you think he's resting his hand if he's holding a girl by her? You
not
know what?
Inside the dress, my friend. He would
Where's
be expelled.
His Where's his thumb?
It would be outside.
Where do you think his thumb is?
Oh, please.
I mean,
exactly.
You belong in the Hall of Fame.
First of all, the fact that your school was shocked by a male cheerleader, I'm not saying male cheerleaders are unusual. I'm saying it's not something that reflects well on a family name if you go back generations. And I don't know about your family.
Well,
but
you know what? Maybe you want to do is live in 2010 and not 1810. In this day and age, with so much stuff going on in schools with drugs and gangs, whether or not a boy wants to be a cheerleader or not, it's his right, and it's so insignificant. You know, we
have dreams for my son.
School.
I have dreams for my son. And we have a family name to uphold, and generations from now.
You're more concerned about your name than about your son.
No, I'm not.
This
is all about you, sir.
All I've heard on this podcast is you.
Well, you're talking about your... But you were talking about what you like in wrestling. What's that got to do with anything? You're talking about Hulk Hogan. I don't know.
You were talking about wrestling.
Yeah, well, this guy's going on about his hobby.
Wrestling, sir. You brought it up.
I brought up wrestling in the context of it being very suspect in turn... in how they relax. Do you know anything about it? No, you don't.
Phil Hendry.
They relax in a very weird way.
Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
Welcome back here with Don Mix, our news hour next hour with Bud Dickman and Robert Leonard. We're talking about Tyler Wilson, and this has certainly struck a chord with the audience, Don. I know that you love your son, and you believe this little boy has courage for sticking up for himself, but obviously the impression that a lot of people are getting from you, and I don't know how many people you represent, but is that you think this boy choosing to be a cheerleader somehow hurts the family name, right?
Well, I don't know. I don't know about that family. My family, yes. I've got people in my family who go back for literally decades, Phil, as inventors, as chemists, engineers. I had a great uncle who was a design engineer with Ford and came out with a great many innovations. I've had... we have an engineering name in our family. If my son, which I thank God, and even though I am a progressive, I believe in progressive politics, I thank God that my son, and I knock wood, that my son has chosen, with the exception of the wrestling. But I wanted to just make one point, if I could. I am a feminist. I believe in the rights of women. And I've listened to a lot of women giving me a hard time tonight. I want to say this. If they can't understand why I am opposed to my son or any boy being a cheerleader at that age, understand something, that when you throw a girl in the air and she lands on your hand, this is an invasive move. It is an invasive move.
Well, you're talking about a little 11-year-old boy is not going to be holding a girl up in the air by her rear end. Is that what you're saying?
I am exactly what I'm saying, and I'm shocked that the women tonight who have been calling your program...
No, an 11-year-old boy doesn't have the physical strength for that, okay?
I don't know. I don't know, Phil. I don't know anything about cheerleading. Do you?
No, I don't. But if you don't know anything about cheerleading, how do you know that he's holding the girl up by her rear end?
Because I've been to enough football games and I've seen a guy with his hand up there. And you can see the look on the girl's face. She obviously doesn't look comfortable. She is being invaded, but she's got to smile because that's the maneuver that they practiced. So she has to sit there and smile while his thumb is God knows where. If that were my daughter, I'd come out of the stands. I'd come out of the stands. And God help whoever's in my way.
877-876-PHIL. Let's go over to L.E. listening to us in Memphis. L.E., you're on the Phil Henry Show with Don Mixa. Go ahead, sir.
Yes, good morning, Don. I mean, Phil, to you and your guest, Don.
Good morning.
As I sit here and waited my turn, I had set three examples that I wanted to expound on. But, man, I tell you, since listening to Don, man, I just don't know where to start. Don,
yes,
when I say this, I mean this from the most serious part of my heart. You are a damn fool. And I said that again. You are a damn fool. For you to be on this radio talking this mess like you're talking. First of all, that little guy, there's no telling where that career thing that he's in right now can take him. If you watch these various commercials on TV, you see all kind of males doing different acrobatic stunts and forms. It may even take him into the Olympic arena. Man, I would hate to be a child of yours. And I really feel or believe that your children can't wait to get out of your house, man. Because you, again, you're out of this world, man. You're something else.
Sir, I am.
I don't mean that in a good fashion. And I really don't mean that in a good fashion.
I'm trying to say that any father, yourself included, would have questions about your boy wanting to be a ballerina. Wouldn't you? Of course. Same reason why I have questions about my
ballerina. I mean, what's wrong with that? That's a money making career. I mean, what's
wrong with
it?
There's nothing wrong with it. But I'd have to vet it. I need to vet that.
What do you mean you got to vet it?
I'd want to look into. You want to be a ballerina? Yes. Where?
Well,
you wouldn't want to have him have a physical. I'd at least want a doctor to look at him.
Why would you want a doctor to look at your son if he wanted to be a ballerina?
I think they're questions, that's all.
Go ahead, Ellie, I'm sorry.
And as I said, speak briefly on the cheerleaders. Don, for your, the next cheerleading you happen to observe, look at the guy's hand. The fingers are toward the young lady's back. The girl is resting on the guy's palm. His fingers are toward the back. Now, when they raise them and lift them and they catch them in the air, the one arm goes under the legs, between the thigh and the leg, and the other one is holding the young lady on her back. He is not... Man, I don't know what
you said.
Sir, when you say...
No, excuse me, sir. I mean, give me the credit. Give me at least this much credit that I've been to the same kinds of football games that you've been to. I've seen the same kinds of cheerleading, and I would say to you, when you say the fingers are toward the back, well, okay.
Yeah.
I mean,
they are.
Yeah. Yeah. Meaning?
But what are you saying?
And the young lady's resting on the guy's palm. His hand is not up in her.
You just said his fingers are toward the back.
Yeah.
Now, what do you think's back there? Her rear end.
A tailbone. What other than that? What are you talking about? In a rectum?
I don't have to give you an anatomy class. What are you talking about?
You have. Phil, let me come in on one other subject.
Wait. I just want to say one thing. Yeah, okay. Don, are you saying, even though the girl is wearing probably some kind of a gymnastic tight, that he's got his finger up there?
I am simply saying that for an 11-year-old boy, that's a heck of a way to introduce a boy to a young lady. Hi, I've never been involved intimately with a woman, but why don't you go ahead and land on my finger?
One more comment, please. Go ahead.
Yes,
out of all the crazy things Don has said this morning, there was one comment that he made just really, it disturbed me. When he made all of his comparisons have been just totally unequivocal, equal to whatever he, to this subject that we're talking about tonight. There's no comparison. I'm enjoying this foolishness, but other than that, there's no truth in it. But the thing that really disturbed me, Don, is when you tried to compare a young white female marrying a black male in comparison to this young man. Now, to me, that has no equalism in it whatsoever. And for you to make that comment, not only are you crazy, you are a racist and a bigot. You have a problem with yourself.
Well, you know, sir, I was waiting for you to come out.
Yeah, you have a problem with yourself.
Why did I not know you were going to bring that up? Why did I not know you're...
Well, what did you mean by that?
What did I mean? I was talking to a white woman.
I know. I heard the lady.
And I know what they fear more than anything. And
you made the statement.
Well, I was talking about what she's afraid of, not me. I'm a progressive. I'm a liberal. Liberal all the way down the line.
Yeah, so liberal that your son, if he's a cheerleader, wow, that's a stain on the family name.
Wait, excuse me. Where is it written that I get to be a liberal? I got to let my kid be a boy. You guys,
he's about six.
You know the thing that cracks me up is this.
And that's sad. It's really sad.
The thing that I think that has made me laugh is that you guys will not face the truth that when a girl flies up in the air and lands in a guy's hand, you guys think that's just fine.
They don't land in the hands. They catch them in the guys catch the girls in his arms, done.
Right. When they go up and do the hand thing, why do they make the guy stick his... I thought I saw the finger sticking up there. I don't know.
Well, then, if you don't know, don't say, man. You may be assuming a lot of things. If you don't know, don't say. Don't sit there going, well, an 11-year-old boy is going to catch a girl with his finger, this and that. You don't know.
You know, Phil, when you get excited...
And perception is totally out of this world.
Imagine that. You're the
dangerous
guy. You guys. Well, no, you guys. Mr. Henry.
Have a good morning.
When you get excited.
Thank you for your time. I appreciate you, man.
Thank you, sir.
Man, Mr. Henry, when you get excited, this is what you do.
Well, I don't know what you're talking about and everything like that.
Your voice cracks. You get excited. Your blood pressure probably goes up. And
all right, so you're knocking me now. That's fine. You can do that.
No, I'm not knocking you.
No, that's fine. If you want to knock me, great. But it takes us further and further and further away from the point. 877-876-PHIL. Here is Lindy on the Phil Henry Show. Go ahead, Lindy.
Professor Nixon, you know, you've drawn a lot of attention to yourself tonight.
No, ma'am.
Probably not the best way.
No, ma'am. No, I've had a lot of misunderstanding.
Do you feel the same way about professional ice skaters? I mean, you know, they do a lot of the same moves.
I don't know. What's your point?
But listen, you know,
what's your point?
You're coming across tonight.
Why don't you get with it?
And very clear-minded.
Just get with it. Get with it, will you? Get with it. What are you trying to tell me?
Don't tell her to get with it.
Well, I mean, I had a guy just call me. You know, the Grand Wizard of the Ku Klux Klan. I happen to be a progressive. And I happen to be a guy that is...
That's
right.
But, you know, your comment regarding your son being a wrestler, the lady caller who was driving a truck, and you question her driving abilities, that she was going to kill somebody on the road?
She's on a cell phone. She's on a cell phone talking while she's driving. Don't you
consider
that to be dangerous?
You know?
Do you think that's dangerous? Well, you know that white women...
That's pretty disconcerting. But,
I was talking to a white woman like you, so I naturally thought that was something she'd be concerned with. But what I would ask you is this. If you're such a woman, you know, opposed to what I'm saying, you want a kid learning how to catch your daughter with one hand. Is that what you want?
You know, cheerleaders and ice skaters, they're professionals. And I don't think that kids at that age
are
going to be doing that.
Why are you bringing up ice skating? Why are you bringing up ice skating all the time? I could care.
You must be involved in ice skating.
Yeah, she must be, but she's not.
No, I'm not.
If you want to teach your kid.
I've seen with ice skating that may be the same as what cheerleaders do with what you guys were commenting on. A woman
right?
being on top of a man's hand during
You're right.
whatever.
Was that?
The,
you know, ma'am, you know? I'm getting the feeling that you're getting more of a thrill out of this than anything else.
I think you
and,
are.
Exactly. See, you're laughing. I'm a college professor. I can't.
Mentioned something that I shouldn't have mentioned. 877-876-PHIL. Let's take a break here.
What did you have to dump?
It's never mind. Never mind. I said something that I shouldn't have said. All right, we'll be back here. Don Mixa and the little 11-year-old boy, and we've also got our news hour coming up, and there's a lot of crazy news to get to tonight with Robert and Bud. 877-876-PHIL, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
You're listening to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
What an idiot. What an idiot.
You're listening to the world famous Bill Hendry Show.
I just think Dan Rather makes a lot of progressives look really, it makes us look pathetic.
877-876-PHIL. I'm talking with Don Mixa here about the little boy cheerleader Tyler Wilson. Who you have, Don, obviously, if you want a positive message, your message has not gotten out that way. I know, because you've been talking about this boy, but not crediting his family.
I think you got a lot of people in your audience, Phil, that don't listen. I think they need to clean their ears out, and I haven't said anything negative about that boy. I simply said, I have been trying to defend women. I said what I said about Dan Rather. I'm a progressive, but I think Dan Rather has made a mockery of progressives.
Yeah. All I said, and this has got nothing to do, I said that I thought Mark Cuban was classy to give Dan Rather that show on HDNet. I think Mark Cuban acted very classy.
Well, I disagree. I think that both of those guys ought to get into a leaky boat and sail out in the middle of the ocean for all the good they've done me.
The progressive movement?
No, I'm talking about me personally.
All right, 877-8, I don't know what that means. 877-876-PHIL. Let's go over to a lady in Abilene, Texas, Kinsey, listening on KFNA. Kinsey, go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry Show with Don Mixa.
Hi. Thanks for having me on.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am.
Sounds like we need a little education in the rules and regulations of the NCAA. Definitely. This is nationally recognized.
Recognized
organization. I was a cheerleader at ACU for 4 years.
What's that? What's and ACU?
It's Abilene Christian University. And
I'm not familiar with that.
No, well, it's involved with the National Cheerleading Association, which we are responsible for.
Well, can you catch a girl by her? Can you hold a woman by her?
All of the rules and regulations, and now I'm an instructor for a.
Are you allowed as a man? Are you allowed to put your hand in there? You're not allowed to do that, are you?
No, you're not, sir.
Okay.
And they watch it very closely. That hand does not go under the skirt. When they do the hold, the men are required to hold the thigh, and there is a certain distance they must remain from the crotch area. This is a national organization.
Now, where do you exactly hold a woman if your hand is not near the crotch? You've got your hand over her, excuse me for saying, her butt crack. Is it?
Will we let just the lady talk?
You're holding with a woman. You cannot rub anything. You're doing your best to hold her weight up there. She's weaving and bobbing.
But you've got your hand right over her crack, right?
There.
What's that? When you were a cheerleader, Kinsey, let me ask you, Kinsey, when you were a cheerleader, did a guy ever try to pull anything with you when he, did he, you know?
Not one.
You were, when he was holding you with his hand, he didn't try to move his hand around and.
If he did, it was so I wouldn't fall.
Okay. All right. Well, then I, you know, enough said. I'm wrong. It just seems to me it's a golden opportunity for a pervert.
Not the field. I can tell you that.
It sounds to me like it's a golden opportunity for a pervert to get some of his kicks being a cheerleader.
Is that what you're afraid of? That your son's not your son, but this boy had become a pervert?
I think if you ask a boy to be a cheerleader and he's catching girls with his with one hand and the thumb, you know, go ahead and land on my thumb. I think you're begging for it. But if this lady, what she says is true, then I stand corrected.
All right, Kinsey, thank you so much. An invitation to perverts. That's a new one. That's a new one, you know.
What do you mean it's a new one?
To say that a guy wants to be a cheerleader because he wants the opportunity to catch a girl by her rear end is you know, as people have been saying, this is an extremely strenuous kind of activity. And who's getting their sexual kicks while they're holding up someone's body weight, and maybe they've got two people?
These guys will hold two girls, one in each hand, and they've got their thumb God knows where. I can tell you, and I'll say it again, Phil, if I saw my daughter parked on a guy's hand and I saw his wrist move, I'd be out of the stands.
877-876-PHIL. Let's go over to Tim, you're on the Phil Hendry Show. Go ahead, sir.
Hey, Phil.
Yes, sir.
Well, let me begin by, let's talk about families. I know you were talking about your family and how you're so proud of them, and they're engineers, and I can relate.
Correct.
My dad was an engineer at graduated Cornell, mechanical engineer, invented the vacuum forming machine. His dad invented pressed steel at Gotham Steel. My great uncle was founded American Steel.
Pressed what? You call it pressed what?
Pressed steel, where you take flattened steel and press it and
press
it into a can or a vessel.
Press steel? Into a vessel? What did he say?
Into a pressed steel.
I see. Well, that's not as interesting as an automobile.
My point is that my dad was a cheerleader. Can I speak?
Well, you say that your father was involved in some kind of a pressed...
Pressed steel.
All right.
My point is, my family's been involved in many inventions. They are mechanical engineers. They're captains of industries. And my dad was a cheerleader. And I am that boy that got beat up because I was a gymnast. And I was bullied when I grew up.
Did it give you a drinking problem?
Pardon me?
It didn't give you a drinking problem or a pill problem, did it?
I don't understand your question.
I thought you said pressed ham, and when you say pressed ham, then it makes sense that there's a that he would become a captain of the pressed ham industry.
Phil Hendry,
after being a gymnast.
This is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
When I met with Meg Whitman on June 22nd...
It feels horrible that they can't accept me for who I am.
It's great to see Toby Keith. Toby, I'm glad you could take time out.
It's a big thing, you say. Yeah, I hope you cut in my kitchen.
Why didn't we buy Alaska in the 1950s?
World famous Phil Hendry Show here every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast, a news talk and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. Truth is our bitch on this bitch. Every night, through the looking glass, we go. We do things that no other talk show knows how to do, no other radio show, no other TV show knows how to do, here on the Phil Hendry Show every night. Our number is 877-876-PHIL. This is our news hour, and Robert Leonard and Bud Dickman join me. And there's a number of things to talk about here. I don't really know what I want to start with, but I will tell you one thing. I know you want to talk all about whatever the hell this is, GLAAD.
Yeah, well, the whole, they think vampires are gay, and that should be discussed tonight on a Phil Hendry Show.
Who does? Who think?
You're talking about GLAAD. GLAAD said GLAAD want to give True Blood an award on you know, an award on gays.
GLAAD wants to give it. That's what they do.
Yeah, but they want to give an award on a gay vampire.
Well, what? All right. So you're saying vampires are gay? You know, but there's no such thing as a vampire.
No, I know, But when they all of a sudden turn into queers?
All right, let's watch it with the Q word, okay? GLAAD says True Blood is the most gay-friendly show on TV. I don't know. Maybe vampires are gay now. I think it all started with Anne Rice. I think she made them gay. And maybe they are gay. And what's the problem with that?
I just don't think that you all of a sudden, oh, well, vampires. They started out, first they started out as a single unit. Or, I'm not a single, but I mean they're like Dracula and stuff like that. Then all of a sudden they're gay.
Yeah, they like live together.
Well, I know what you mean. I mean, vampires, I don't know. It's you know, the vampire legend is something that any good writer can take and do anything they want with it. Bram Stoker was the guy that wrote the book, and his vampire lived alone in a castle in Transylvania.
Yeah, well, so what happened to that?
I don't know. I guess they moved to Miami and started living together. That's the way, that's what happens. That's what writers do. And while Bram Stoker's Dracula seemed to be a heterosexual, although if you read the book, if you read the original Dracula, the Dracula in the book was way, he wasn't nothing, man. He had like hair on the palm of his hands. You know, what are you laughing at?
But you know what he's doing to get the hair.
Yeah, that's what he did, man. That's right. Yeah, he wasn't sexual. He wasn't heterosexual or gay. He was just doing that all day long.
We got. But I'm upset about how they say all of a sudden they're gay.
I don't know, man. It could be that there's a lot of more women writing about vampires, and they sort of like that vibe, you know. I don't know. And the vampires are more gallant, and the vampires are better looking, and the vampires don't really hate and kill and are not all that cruel to all humans. They're just cruel and mean to some. And the vampires are sometimes they're cops. And so, you know, did you ever see that? What was that thing, Forever Night? Did you ever see that?
That show was bitching.
Yeah, I like that show.
That was about a vampire cop. And it was the most bizarre show. I mean, I dug it. I think it was produced out of Canada. And
really?
Yeah, it was a Canadian show, and he was a cop. And he worked, obviously, the night shift, you know.
Yeah, you have to work the night shift, like homicide or something like that.
Right.
He probably, if he was in Indianapolis, he'd be on a shift.
The vampire? I don't know. What's that?
That's a show about Indianapolis.
Yeah, it's about the cop show.
Oh, and it's that murder squad in Indianapolis, yeah? And they work only at night?
Yeah, a lot of them do.
Well, I don't know, bud. If the vampire lived in Minneapolis, what is it?
No, it's Indianapolis.
If the vampire lived in Indianapolis, he'd work on the night shift with, yeah.
That's hard to figure a vampire in Indianapolis. I just never think of Indiana, you know.
You don't think of certain states about a vampire.
I don't know, man. I mean, I suppose that a vampire... Will you let me read this, okay?
Well, what state do you think of?
I don't think of any state when I think of a vampire. I don't think of any state. It doesn't come into my head that way.
You don't think about Indiana, do you?
No, I don't think about Indiana. I guess if I were to think about a state and vampires, I'd think of New York, California, and because of Anne Rice, Louisiana and Florida.
But what does that mean?
Because her vampires lived in New Orleans and Miami. A new report has confirmed what many Trubies have suspected. HBO's vampire smash True Blood is the most gay-friendly show on television. Thanks to its large cast and often sexually ambiguous vampires. Well, vampires are supposed to be sexually ambiguous, I thought. Anyway, HBO's True Blood is the most inclusive program currently on television. Are you guys kidding? The most inclusive program currently on television. You realize, GLAAD, that vampires are not really sexual. In Anne Rice's books, they don't even have genitals.
Are you kidding?
I'm not kidding, no. Somehow, when you become a vampire, it goes away. You just...
Yeah, but they got guy and girl. You say they don't have the other thing.
No, they don't. They look like guys and girls, but they've got... I don't know.
What about Dracula? Dracula probably had... he was huge.
That's right, bud. He was probably like John Holmes.
Why, man?
Exactly.
Because he's Dracula, because he was the first one.
Will you shut up, man? First of all, I don't know, and Bram Stoker in his book doesn't say, okay?
Yeah, but I'm just saying, it's probably John Holmes.
All right. Dracula was like John Holmes. Not that he used it. I mean, every time you see a Dracula movie, that guy ain't making love to women. He's sucking the blood out of them.
Man, that's true.
Yeah, that is true. What do you care? What does he care? All that cat did, all any of those guys do, is drink blood, and they try to make it turn. They try to make it into something really sexy and cool, which I suppose it is. You know.
Well, what's that thing you told me one time about how it's supposed to be about a woman having a cycle?
That's some thing I heard.
Say it again. It's pretty interesting.
It was some cat. I forget who. Some guy was analyzing the Dracula myth. And he was saying that Dracula represents the sexual freedom of women. And the blood thing is the beginning of a woman's sexual life. And the men who had the crosses and the stakes, those are men. That's the way men react to... it was a 19th century thing, you got to understand.
What do you mean?
Well, the book was written in the 19th century, so... This is an interpretation by some critic who thought that what Bram Stoker was writing about, or at least subconsciously was putting into his book, was this 19th century Victorian attitude that women were, that women's sexuality was being repressed, that a woman expressing that kind of sexuality, it had to be killed. Men stepped on it. They didn't want to see it. And so that's what those men represented, you know, with the stakes and the crosses. And Dracula...
Is Dracula like John Holmes?
No, he's not like John Holmes. What do you mean John Holmes?
He's that symbol, man. Not ain't the real thing.
Dracula was like a symbol of the sex drive of women. And the freeing of that. He wasn't a guy. He wasn't a guy. What do you mean John Holmes? What is it with you anyway?
I'm just thinking that Dracula would have the biggest one of them all.
Okay, that's fine, bud. You keep thinking about that.
Well, you're saying I'm gay.
You keep talking about it. But the fact of the matter is that Dracula, in this guy's opinion, was a symbol of the sexual awakening of women. So, and in the 19th century, you know, that just it was nowhere, man. Not in America, not in Europe. It was just not good, you know. And so that was his sort of expression of that. But you know, anyway... Let's get off that, man. I'll just go on a few more things here. The report says, this is from GLAAD, that lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgender characters will account for 3.9% of all 587 characters in 84 scripted series in the Fall Network TV season, up from 3% last year. For the fifth straight year, ABC has the highest percentage of LGBT characters among the broadcast networks with 7.2%. CBS was said to show the most improvement among the broadcasters, thanks in part to Kalinda Sharma, Archie Punjabi, the investigator on The Good Wife, being revealed as bisexual. CBS still has the smallest number of GLBT characters of the... What does it mean, GLBT?
I thought it was supposed to be LBGT.
Well, they said GLBT.
What's that?
It's the same thing, I guess. Anyway, so that's where that's at. GLAAD gave out their awards, and... Here are the lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgender. You know, as I say this, I have to tell you, there are lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, Asian, Hispanic, Black, female, Jewish. There's a lot of so-called minorities, and when I say minority, you realize that that's not exactly an accurate description because women are not a minority. Women are a majority, and yet they are still considered. In the same socioeconomic sense. Anyway, here are the characters on television that are gay or bisexual or, you know.
Or transgender, too.
I don't know if there's any transgender. They also, this is a riot, man. They give the ethnicity. And most of the gays are white. How about that, huh?
Yeah, well, that's good, man, because Black people don't want to see no Black gay. That's not good. But I'll tell you what. Why they put more gay people instead of more Black people?
You're a racist if you don't agree with it.
Wait a minute. What are you talking about?
I don't want to see a gay Black. I want to see just a regular Black man.
Yeah, see, you're against it.
I'm not against it. I'm just saying it ain't going to play.
Well, here it is. Brothers and Sisters on ABC, the character is Kevin Walker. He's gay, white. They got a bisexual Latina on Grey's Anatomy. They got a on Happy Endings.
Yeah, I bet it's a happy ending.
Shut up, man.
On Happy Endings, they got a gay white, bisexual white, gay non-human. What the hell are we? Gay non-human. Roger the Alien on American Dad. Oh, okay. Bisexual API. What's that?
American. I think it's a college.
What do you mean a college? Gay, white, bisexual. Well, there it is. I don't know. It's all gay. They're all gay and they're all white.
Fine with me.
Oh, yeah, okay, sure. You say gays are better at the white, huh?
I find out what API, Asian Pacific Islander.
Asian Pacific Islander, huh? Well, they only got two of those. So if I were an Asian Pacific Islander or representing the Asian Pacific Islanders, I'd say, you're getting hosed, Jack, big time. They only got one cat from Hawaii, or one, two, three. All right, we'll be back. So wasn't that a marvelous way to spend 15 minutes on why we got what we got, why we have a gay alien on TV, but we don't know why Dracula isn't built like Johnny Holmes?
Yeah, I thought it was great.
Great. 877-876-PHIL. All right, which cable news network does President Obama call destructive? Three guesses, and the first two don't count. Plus, a new Earth-like planet has been discovered, but will we ever be able to live there? PhilHendryShow.com for our podcasts, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
It's the Phil Hendry Show. Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
All right, welcome back, and our website is philhendryshow.com. Tomorrow, we're going to have three new Classic Phil podcasts. We're also going to have an uncensored rant from our pre-show. If you listen to our show, you're only getting three of what are 4 hours of the show. We do an hour on our video cast, which we call our uncensored hour, before the show, and sometimes it gets, I don't know why. To be honest with you, the way that I have gone off on a radio industry in my pre-show, I don't even know how it is I still got a job. I got a whole thing, man, about this industry that I work in, the radio industry. And if you want to hear me sound off on that, you got to check out our pre-show. And I also will be on a panel at Don Anthony's Talk Show Boot Camp in October. I guess it's here in Los Angeles. It was in Atlanta last year. I had a great time in Atlanta. It's fun to go to these events and just kind of see how well this industry is doing. And everyone listens to the radio. Everybody listens to the radio. There isn't a human being that doesn't listen to the radio. And yet this is an industry that is in such distress. And it isn't just the economy. It's the idiots that run it.
You'll get in trouble for that.
Oh, well, you know, ask me. Get in trouble how? What, are they going to call the FCC? You know, you said some bad stuff there about the industry. So anyway, watch our pre-show and listen to our uncensored rants there. It's on our website, philhendryshow.com. Obama says Fox News is destructive for the country's growth. The president has been asked repeatedly, probably by advisors and others, why don't you just lay off the whole Fox thing? Forget about it, man. Forget about it. He's far more reactive than Bush was. Bush got, you know, the same kind of criticism. I mean, Bush got savaged the same way that Obama gets savaged, but Bush he kept a tight lip on that, man. He didn't go after CNN. He didn't go after anybody. But Obama does. Fox News may have the highest ratings on cable news, but President Obama still isn't a fan of the network's point of view. In a wide-ranging Rolling Stone interview, Obama swung back at the network that provides a major platform for conservative hosts and Republican political analysts. By the way, did you see the story today? I don't think we've got it, but I saw it. I just happened to see. Who's that Jack Ball that is the guy that makes those movies?
What?
Who's the guy that made the movie Acorn, Robert?
Oh, yeah. I forget.
Well, this jackass, he got busted by people that he was trying to set up. He would James O'Keefe. Get that story, Jason. This guy, James O'Keefe, was trying to burn this chick from CNN. He was going to set her up and try to sexually seduce her while he had cameras rolling. And she got wind of it by one of his people.
Oh, man, you kidding me?
No, I'm not.
What happened?
Well, he invited her to, she wanted to interview him. She wanted to interview him about All this jazz that these young Republican hot guns, all these young guys, the I don't know, whatever you want to call them, these sort of these media cats that, you know, run around and do this gonzo stuff. So she wanted to interview him. So he said, well, why don't you come down here to where I live and interview me on tape? And, you know, I'm very protective of what I do. And basically she gets down there and now she's going to be invited out onto a boat. And he has set this boat up with marital aids and he's got...
Are you kidding me?
No, he's got like condoms and he has lighting and he had all this stuff, right? And what he was going to do is he was going to try to seduce this woman on tape and then release this tape. Now, I don't know, James O'Keefe, I don't know anything about it, but he's about the ugliest son of... Have you ever seen this guy? He looks like a real nerd. So, make a long story short, this cat, I've got the story right here, as a matter of fact. She gets down there. And before she gets out on this boat, his assistant, a young lady by the name of Izzy Santana, I think that's her name, comes out and warns her, says, you're about to get, I think she used the word punked, you're about to get punked. And the reporter from CNN, Boudreaux is her name, says, what are you talking about? He says, he was going to have you come out on this boat. Now, this girl works for O'Keefe, but apparently she turned on him for whatever reason. Boudreaux says that the girl that came out, this Izzy Santana, had dirt on her face, and she was crying. Unreal. And anyway, make a long story short, so this jackass is left standing there. So as she's going back to the car, this guy O'Keefe comes out and says, you know, are you going to interview me? And she said, no, I don't think so. He says, would you mind our interview being taped? And she said, no, that wasn't part of the deal. I'm not going to be taping this. I mean, this is just me coming down and getting background on you. And then he says to her, what are you afraid of? So the guy is just desperately trying to make this thing happen, and it didn't happen, in part because one of his own people, you know, but James O'Keefe, the conservative filmmaker whose undercover videos essentially destroyed community organizing group Acorn, destroyed? We'll see. And I ain't an Acorn fan, but apparently attempted to lure CNN correspondent...
You're lying to me.
There it is. Read it, man. Read it and weep.
That's extreme with dildos and...
Faux seducer is a hidden camera filmed the whole thing. Boy, you know what, O'Keefe? You got some kind of ego on you, man. I mean, I've seen this Abby Boudreaux. She's pretty hot. And you dork. CNN lays out the story here, and Boudreaux herself explains what happened to the video below. Oh, well, whatever. Here's what happened. CNN had been working on a documentary about young conservative activists, O'Keefe among them. On August the 10th, O'Keefe requested a private meeting with Boudreaux, suggesting that he just wanted to talk because he was uncomfortable about letting people into my sort of inner sanctum, like you got something going on. When Boudreaux showed up for the meeting in Maryland a week later, she was met by Izzy Santana, an executive director of O'Keefe's group. A visibly nervous Santana asked to speak to Boudreaux. In the CNN correspondent's rented car, where Santana revealed that O'Keefe was attempting to set her up. Izzy told me that James was going to be dressed up and have strawberries and champagne on the boat. You're about as convinced. I bet you'd be about as convincing a playboy as you were convincing a pimp. She declined to get on a boat and soon left. Well, actually, you were a pretty convincing pimp.
Yeah, I'm going to say.
So she declined to get on the boat, O'Keefe eventually emerging. They had a brief discussion in which she said she did not have permission. He did not have permission to film her. So I'll get into the rest of this when we come back from the break. But this guy has gone from one really good idea, which was the Acorn video, to just, he don't know what he's doing, man. That what was that one thing he was going to do, try to tap somebody's phones? All right, we'll be back with more here. World famous Phil Hendry Show. And we'll be back in a minute.
I'm going to read that again.
Phil Hendry. This is the world famous Phil Hendry Show.
All right, so anyway, here it is on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Getting back to this James O'Keefe. This is the guy that made that Acorn video.
Yeah, I made that Acorn video two times, and then he messed up that other one, and I found out of Mary Landrieu.
Yeah, she's the governor.
No, she ain't. She's the
I mean, she's a senator.
Senator from Louisiana. And he tried to bug, I don't know what he was doing with that phone caper. I think he was going in there with trying to pretend like they were some kind of phone company, and they went in and they did some stupid stuff and they got popped. And maybe he wasn't tapping any phones or whatever, but he was in the office misrepresenting himself, and that's what got him into trouble. Now we go to number three. So he did Acorn. That was great. He butchered up the Landro thing. So now he's trying something else. And what's that going to be? He's going to try to videotape himself with a CNN reporter named Abby Boudreau, who he claimed in October of 2001 was trying to seduce him in order to use him to spin a lie about him. That's what he said of this girl. So he said, and I quote, in this CNN caper document, that O'Keefe would record in advance of the prank in which he would complain that CNN was planning to portray me and my friends as crazies, as non-journalists, as unprofessional, unlikely, as homophobes, racists, or bigots. So, I'm quoting him again, I'm going to seduce her on camera to use her for a video. The bubble-headed bleach blonde who comes on at 5 will get a taste of her own media, her own medicine. She'll get seduced on camera, and you'll get to see the awkwardness and the aftermath. Well, that ain't what happened there, O'Keefe, is it? Now, the script was not written by O'Keefe, who emailed CNN to say he found certain elements highly objectionable and inappropriate and did not consider them for 1 minute following it. It was reportedly the work of Ben Whitmore, one of the young conservative activists tied to whatever, man. So the point here is this. They wanted to expose the big lie under which CNN operates, including their bias against conservatives and their own internal racism against whites. you know, in other words, pretty predictable stuff. So he invites her down because she wants to interview him because they're doing a piece on conservatives. Meanwhile, he's got this plan. She's met by Izzy Santana from this Project Veritas, which is O'Keefe's organization, in which this Izzy Santana, with dirt on her face and her lip quivering as if she'd been crying, says to Boudreau, "You're about to be punked." Boudreau gets out of her car, is shown the boat on which O'Keefe is sitting with champagne and cameras and dildos and condoms and strawberries.
That's how you go. Seduce a lady?
It don't sound like much of a plan to me, but...
Why not?
I don't know, man. You're going to seduce a woman, so here, I'll sit on a boat. By the way, I saw the video report. I don't know if that's his house, but it looks like some kind of a dump. I mean, it's on a canal, which is fine, but it was kind of a weird-looking joint, and the boat was one of these 28, 30-foot fiberglass jobs. Not exactly a cabin cruiser. You know.
Yeah, but he had like a, didn't he have a...
Get off the microphone, bud.
Well, didn't he, you said he had champagne and everything.
So what if he had champagne? But I bet you anything, man, the setup that cat had waiting for her would make any woman, would give any woman the creeps, to be honest with you. You're getting on some 30-foot fiberglass sailboat in a canal, and I looked at this thing, it was like you have to walk across this long sort of seagrass to get it through mud to get out to the dock and whatever. So she goes out, she sees this, she turns around and she's heading back to her car, and O'Keefe comes off the boat and follows her and says that he wants to interview her on tape. And she says that wasn't part of the deal. I came down here to talk to you. And he said, well, I'd like you to tape it. And she said, no, I'm not going to tape it. That wasn't what I came down here to do. And that's when he said to her, what are you, quote unquote, afraid of? And that, she said, completely ended the conversation. She got in her car and she split. And this guy, O'Keefe, looks like the back end of a horse.
Man, he looked like a jive ass to me.
Now, this CNN caper is a... It's a 13-page document titled The CNN Caper about the plan obtained by CNN. It was his plan to punk or to prank or to crank or to set up CNN. And there was a list of, quote, equipment needed. Condom jar. Dildos.
Man, are you kidding?
Nope. Alicia Keys music, as we, because, you know, Every dumbass knows that women love Alicia Keys. I don't know.
No, they don't, man. They like that Norah Jones, though.
Yeah, I would go with Norah Jones myself.
What are we guys talking about?
We're just screwing around, bud. Alicia Keys music. And then he puts in parentheses, though not Marvin Gaye because it's too cliche. The guy's got a condom jar, dildos, and champagne, but Marvin Gaye is cliche? Man.
Marvin Gaye would be way better than either one of them.
I think so. It would be a lot more masculine, I guess. Anyway, and I'm quoting again here. Lube, that's romantic. Ceiling mirror, posters, and paintings of naked women, copies of Playboy and other pornographic magazines, Viagra pills, fuzzy handcuffs, and a blindfold. So it's obvious to me that when he got her on the boat, the tape would be rolling, and they'd start talking. And, it's one thing to have all that jazz while a woman is talking to you and she's not saying anything that's compromising her. It's something else if you think that you're actually going to get her into a compromised position with all of that stupid stuff.
Well, what about it? You're saying that's not no good?
Bud, what do you know about women, okay? Have they got a girlfriend?
Yeah.
What do you mean you got to have a mirror on the ceiling and posters and paintings? Women are not into that, man. It's way too overt. It's no class.
Man, you're not going to have no jaw lube sitting there.
Yeah, well, what if you need it later on?
Will you shut up about that? In an email expressing doubts about the operation, Santana wrote that O'Keefe has staged the boat to be a place of pleasure with all sorts of props. He wants to have a bizarre sexual conversation with her. So he was going to mostly tape a, quote, bizarre sexual conversation. They might have had that kind of conversation in the past.
I'm going to say that because he'd say, we talked like this before. Come on, let's start it again. So maybe she's already had that conversation, you know.
Maybe. That, why would that jackass think that he could have a sexual conversation with her if he'd had not had it already? But, I mean, it's one thing to do it on the phone or maybe somewhere else. It's another thing to have it on that stupid little boat that he had with all of this jazz in it. Anyway, the CNN caper document also said the group wanted to expose in a different operation the big lie under CNN. The section of the caper document that addresses the Boudreaux plan includes a mock script in which O'Keefe tries to seduce Boudreaux and explains the joke is that the tables have been turned on CNN. Oh, jeez. Using hot blondes to seduce interviewees to get screwed on television, you are faux seducing her in order to screw her on television. Boudreaux has a long and impressive resume. This guy put into a document everything that he was planning on doing, and it was made into copies, and it was passed around. If there is fallout, the document says, make sure to emphasize Abby's name and overall status to help burden her career with this video incident and her bad judgment in pursuing you so aggressively. This is the worst kind of thing to actually try to destroy a career or to burden a career. I mean, it is the lowest. I mean, you deserve to have your ass beat.
Well, I mean, you got to be careful, man.
No. If you're going after someone's career, their livelihood, you deserve to have your ass kicked. There's no question in my mind.
Yeah, you go to jail, though.
I go to jail. If I go to jail, I go to jail. Somebody's coming after your career, your ability to make a living, your ability to have a living in your chosen profession, and they're trying to destroy that by lying about you. You don't think that's illegal?
Yeah, you let the police handle that, though.
What are the police going to do? What are the cops going to do? They got to do anything. You could sue her. How much money? Or you could sue him. How much money do you think that clown's got? I bet you that guy hasn't got a nickel. No. I think it would be far more satisfying to just find him and just kick his ass one night. I mean, real bad. Just leave him lying in a puddle someplace. Anyway, the document continues that if they go on the attack, you should point out the hypocrisy in CNN using the inherent sexuality of these women to sell viewers and for ratings. So all this stuff that he planned never happened because this young lady, Izzy Santana, warned Boudreaux about this before it happened. The Project Veritas executive director, Santana, warned Boudreaux about the operation, reportedly remains in the group's payroll, though she has had her responsibilities taken away from her. So, what do you think?
I think she had an argument. I'm talking to Jason about this at the break.
Yeah.
And he said they had an argument about the propriety of it, appropriateness of it and everything like that.
What?
Just shut up, man. And they had an argument, And he told her, just shut up, baby, and do it, you know. And she got mad and come out and told her.
Probably. Yeah, I would agree with that. I would agree. They probably had an argument about, you know what, I don't want to do this. This is not, this is going too low. This is really, I mean, you're setting up a pretty nice lady or whatever. And no way. Let's not do it. And he said to her probably something that pissed her off enough so that when she left that boat, she went out, she met Boudreaux when her car pulled up, and she walked up to her and said, here's what's going to happen to you. And there you go. And I would say just one thing to this Izzy Santana, while she's still on the payroll, watch your step with this scumbag, because this guy has made it clear that he's going to go after people's careers. And, you know.
Yeah, but I mean, she must not care about her career on because of the name Izzy.
What are you talking about, man?
Yeah, what are you talking about?
Because of her name.
Hey, bud, you know what? If you don't, you know, let the grown-ups talk, okay?
What are you talking about?
Izzy. Yeah, that's right. She doesn't care about her career because it's Izzy.
Man, you need to learn more about politics and everything. All you can do, man, make fun of me stuttering, but you don't know nothing.
Bud, why don't you just, like the man said, you know, quit while you're ahead.
You're always sticking up for him.
You sound like an idiot. Izzy. Hey, how could she care about her career with a name like Izzy?
Well, it is stupid.
I don't know. Maybe it is. I don't know why she got her name like that. So that's the O'Keefe caper, man. We'll hear more about that tomorrow. This is the guy, the acorn guy. He just got it up his giggy with a Wawa brush, man.
Well, no kidding.
All right, 877-876-PHIL, a world-famous Phil Hendry show every night here until you know when, 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast. What do we got coming up, Mr. Producer Man? Huh? Nothing? Okay. Well, wait a minute, man. I got to check out our teases. We got any teases going on here? An Earth-like planet's been discovered. Maybe we can ship James O'Keefe there. What do you think? And don't forget our website, philhendryshow.com. Watch us on your Android, your Evo. Take us mobile, baby. That's where we are. We'll be back.
You're listening to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. You're listening to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
You know, there's an interesting story here about Obama and Fox News, and I suppose there's a couple of schools of thought on this. You know, the president, like I said, you know, Bush played it like this. They dumped garbage on him, and he didn't say anything, which, you know, I know that Bush is so hated by some people that even me saying what I just said, there's people now saying, yeah, you know, what could he say? You know, you're never going to win, but... and it's a matter of style. Now, Obama decides to engage. Obama's getting garbage dumped on him the same way Bush did. Obama's decided to engage Fox in this interview with Rolling Stone. And in the interview with Rolling Stone, he basically says that Fox is part of a tradition of biased reporting. Now, he mentions that the United States has a tradition of a press that oftentimes is opinionated. There's only been a, quote, short golden age of objective press, he said. Whenever that was, I don't know. A short golden age, probably at the very beginning of the country, at the end of the 18th century, early 19th century, because by the early 19th century, the New York Times, not the New York Times, I think it was the New York World, it was Horace Greeley's paper.
Is that a real guy?
Who?
Horace Greeley?
Yeah, it's a real guy. He was a newspaper publisher.
Man, I thought that was like a made-up name.
Yeah, I thought. Ain't he the guy that said go west or whatever?
Yeah, Horace Greeley might have said go west. Horace Greeley was a newspaper publisher. But it wasn't Greeley. It was a different guy. Greeley was later. This was a different guy who started a rather tabloidy newspaper in New York that reported on suicides. It reported on crime. It reported on murders. It was very salacious. It was extremely explosive and exploitive, and it was a huge hit in New York at a time when New York City had many, many newspapers, many, many newspapers. You talk about maybe three dailies in a big city like New York. At that time, they probably had 20 newspapers in New York publishing daily or a couple times a week. So along comes the age of opinionated journalism, which was probably highlighted by William Randolph Hearst. You know, you've ever heard of yellow journalism? That was centered around William Randolph Hearst and the Spanish-American War and so on. And Obama says they use their newspapers very intentionally to promote their viewpoints. He says, I think Fox is part of that tradition. It is a part of the tradition that is a very clear, undeniable point of view. It's a point of view that I disagree with. It's a point of view that I think is ultimately destructive for the long-term growth of the country that is a vibrant middle class and is competitive in the world. But as an economic enterprise, yes, it's been wildly successful. And I was reading this and I was thinking, I don't know, maybe the president should keep his mouth shut or maybe he shouldn't. But I will tell you that sniping at your critics at a time when you are sort of down in the polls, when you're trying to catch up, is probably not the classiest thing in the world to do, you know.
Yeah, but you're saying that because Bush didn't do it. But why not when Obama said it?
Obama can do whatever he wants, man. But you understand that there is a perception out there. And it, and like everything in life, you win the battle. A perception is reality. And if Obama looks like he is spending his time in the words, remember in the Player, when the writer says to Griffin Mill, when Griffin Mill can't cut the pressure at work, he comes out to Pasadena and picks fights with writers.
What? Yeah, what's that mean?
The movie we were looking at the other night, you remember that one?
Yeah.
Remember when he said, you can't hack the pressure at work, you come out and pick fights with writers?
Oh, yeah. So he's saying, like, coming out and messing with the little people.
Yeah, messing with the little people. Even though Fox ain't exactly the little people.
Well, I was going to say, that's got nothing to do with it.
Anyway, by the way, that newspaper was called the New York Tribune, and it was the immediate smasheroo in New York City. The New York Times was being published then, the Aurora. There were all kinds of papers, but that was a big smash. So anyway, you know, Obama came after Fox News. And I just think that what the president, I think what he ought to do, all things being equal, just don't say anything. Just don't say anything, man. Don't say anything. As I've tried to say, and people don't get it, and they will, Fox is not a news channel. Fox is a talk radio station. Only it's on TV. That means they have personalities who express opinions, and then they have news breaks. There's nothing wrong with that. It's very entertaining. It's very enjoyable. I mean, for a lot of people. But it is not a, quote, news channel. It has news, but it has mostly, it has personality. And I think that Obama is falling into a trap by considering it to be biased news. Strictly news reporting that they do.
Yeah, but what, when are you ever going to see that?
Like at the top of the hour, they have those news breaks.
Are you kidding? That's not what he's talking about. He's talking about all the news that they do. No, that's not what he's saying.
I'm telling you, the only news that Fox does are the news breaks. I'm telling you right now, that's the only news they do. The news breaks. And now here's a Fox News break. I'm Bozo the Clown, and a fire, and a war, and a this, and a that. Thank you, and now back to Bill O'Reilly. That's the only news they do, just like on a talk station. The only news that you hear is at the top of the hour and the bottom of the hour. And what's the rest of the time?
You're talking like a guy who's on a radio?
Right. Well, there's nothing wrong with that. It's great. But it's not a news channel. And Obama, it would have been great if Obama would have said, look, I know what those cats do over at Fox. I know what they're doing. They're basically just a channel of entertaining opinion. That's what it is. It's a channel of entertaining opinion that happens to have this particular political point of view. Now, CNN never really understood that. Never really understood it. CNN tried to synthesize that. Well, we're going to do news. We have our morning. CNN is like a lot of really bad talk stations that have, well, I shouldn't say, but sometimes, you know, doing the morning news block is a good idea, and sometimes it's not. And you got the morning news block, then here comes the personalities, and then here comes this, and then here comes that. And CNN is like they don't either get it or they don't know how to do it. If CNN was smart, CNN would do what we told them to do the other night. They'd park cameras on Skid Row. They'd put cameras in bar rooms. They'd put cameras down on the docks and on the wharfs. They'd take a camera out on the road. They would go all over, forget about the world, CNN, go all over America and start telling this country's story with actual boots on the ground, to use that term we love to use from the Iraq War, actual boots-on-the-ground journalists, and I don't mean some bull crap about Katrina, man. We've already got that. I got it already. What else is going on?
Gotta go.
Oh, sorry. Show is produced by Jason Rance, technical director Charles Wagon, and our screener and associate producer is Dan Northcraft, philhenryshow.com. That's philhenryshow.com. Thank you.
Gotta go.
Right.